Hi, welcome to Thomas Anonymous with Tommy Natoli. That's me.
There's like a group of people outside right now that are making so much noise. It's ridiculous. I'm trying to start this show. I'm trying to like stay focused and be professional, but they're like, it is okay. It is a cold, rainy day in Los Angeles, and there are people outside screaming about taking shots, like alcohol shots. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What's going on? My Christmas tree's beautiful. Oh my God. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's, you know, they say Mercury is in retrograde and today's the last day. And thank you, universe, for this being over, because this is exactly what's going on. Just crazy things that don't usually happen are totally happening. And also, I'm a klutz. When they say, like, Mercury is in retrograde, all that ever happens to me is, like, I just drop shit, hit stuff, bump my head. Like, I just do klutzy, stupid stuff. All right, great. I started out with a rant. Welcome. I'm just gonna start again. Hi. Welcome to Thomas Anonymous with Tommy Natoli. That's me. Duh. A quaint and lovely show is what I have for everybody today. Today's show is happening, whether we like it or not, god damn it. I feel like Rachel Maddow when I say that, because she's always starting each of her shows by saying that they had prepared and planned for an entirely different show. But then, because of some last minute what or whatever, they had to change everything and totally improvise. And that is my show today. Changed and totally improvised. So my original guest for today had to cancel at the last minute. I know, it stinks, but it's okay, it's okay. It's fine, you guys. We live in Los Angeles. Things happen. People have to work. People have stuff going on. And I'm going to have that person on another time. So yay, I'm happy about that. They're still going to be on the show. But then I was like, oh shit, what the hell am I going to do today? I was relying on someone else to talk the whole time. And just to give you guys like a little behind the podcast realness, and when I say behind the podcast, I'm really trying to make it like a VH1 Behind the Music, but nobody gets that, so now I'm going to explain it. Behind the podcast. Thomas Anonymous is not a high budget production. I always tell people when they come on, like, hey, don't expect a lot. So when I record like by myself, I'm usually... You know, I usually make, like, the closet into a sound booth, you know, like, super professional. Great, right? Keeps the sound in. And then when I have, like, a guest on here at my place, you know, we obviously don't sit in my closet. We just sit out in my house and have a conversation. But the point is, when I have someone over, I clean my house like a crazy person the morning of. Because I am, like all of us, a part of me is my fucking mother, and I'm manic. And so I just like woke up and started to clean. But most importantly, the whole thing when I have someone over is that like I make it like a nice situation for people to come into. I burn a fabulous smelling candle from Bath & Body Works. I provide top shelf water and banana bread from Trader Joe's. Oh yeah, Thomas Anonymous is a full experience, you guys. So anyway, I just had to let you know that's what people experience when they come here. Oh, I'm gonna drink water, hold on. And of course, I got all that ready like I normally do, and unfortunately things fell through at the last minute. So basically, I'm explaining all this to you because normally when I'm doing a solo episode or you know my own parts, I'm in a closet, and now I'm like relaxing in my nice chairs, looking at my beautiful decorations. I'm taking in a wonderful ambiance with candles and banana bread. I have some banana bread here, and so I'm really enjoying myself. It doesn't usually go this way for me, so I feel like I'm my own guest. I'm living in the lap of luxury. Oh, which reminds me of being my own guest. So I've been stealing those questions that I ask people on the show now, and since I don't have anyone on today, at the end of at the end of the show today, I will be asking myself those questions and answering myself those questions. So, yay, me. Also, I'm smoking weed because you know what? I've just decided to treat myself now. Okay, long story short, I did manage to put a whole show together for you guys today. But first, it's the holidays! It took me a minute to get my holiday cheer and my desire to decor. But it did finally break through and get me. I don't know what it was. Last year we had our big fake tree versus real tree. I had a real tree. This year I'm back to my fake tree. and that's great and everything. But I just didn't have, like, I took the fake tree out. I set it up. I didn't decorate it, but I just, like, left it set up. Like, then that's all I could handle. Like, I did that, and it was like, ugh. And then 3 days later, I put some decorations on. I had to put Scrooged on, starring Bill Murray. Best movie ever. So, yes. Why did I bring up the holidays? Oh, because I'm going to do another special Thomas Anonymous holiday special. So that'll be coming up. And I don't think there's going to be that much of a big, like, holiday break. So there should be shows, like, while you guys are having to visit family and do that whole thing. What else is on my morning announcement list? Oh, toxic masculinity is still in my wardrobe. Oh, so this is like, this is a weird, it's kind of like a semi-deep thing that I've thought of the past couple weeks. So, you know, we're always in process, I feel like. Like, I came out of the closet for real, like, permanently, I guess you could say. I came out permanently 10 years ago now, and I feel like it's still a process. Like, you're still always having little epiphanies. And the most recent epiphany I had was my clothes. The clothes that I wear are not clothes I want to wear. First of all, I don't go out and buy clothes. Like, I don't enjoy the process of buying clothes. I never have. And I realized it's because I hate all the boy clothes. I hate, like, there's nothing appealing to me about them. I just can't get into it. I don't know. And I also realized in that moment that when I do buy clothes and the clothes that I have, how many times can I fucking say clothes? Jesus. Do a vocal warm-up, Tommy. No, I don't want to. I'm eating banana bread. The clothes, I can't say it now. The clothes I have and wear now, when I think about when I got them, I've always got them because it's like, that's what I think a boy should wear. Those are boy clothes. I always, if you know me, or if you've, you know, been an acquaintance even of me, you know that I'm always wearing the same jeans or the same basketball shorts with some kind of very generic boy t-shirt. And if weather permits, I can throw on like a flannel or a button down of some kind to, you know, layer myself. I love a layer. But yeah, anyway, that was just a quick little epiphany I had of how, you know, I'm still messed up with that. And I guess, you know, I ask myself, well, what would you wear? What would you wear if you could go into Marshall's and not be assigned a gender? What would you wear? And I think that's my, I guess, goal or challenge for myself is to figure that out. Because I think I would just really like a really soft, like, fabric, you know, like a t-shirt, but not just like cotton, like a nice soft t-shirt with like a nice deep V, and it's just very flowy. It's actually the same kind of t-shirt that my best friend Kate left here at Christmas last year, and now I wear it when she's not here all the time. But now I wear it, and I love it. It's one of my favorite, like, it's just flowy, and it's just, you know. I also have a very flowy robe. I think I just want to wear flowy things. anyway, moving on, I'm going on too long with that. It's just toxic masculinity is around us all the time. It's like the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah. So if you don't follow me on Instagram, you should. I'm at the Thomas Anonymous, and I'm usually posting stories of like what's going on, or, you know, if I have a rant about parking, who knows? It's all kind of fun. So you should check me out there on the Instagram. I found out this week I got a message, an email, or whatever you get, about this podcast and how an advertiser had purchased a campaign ad or whatever, you know, a spot to run for advertising, and they pay you for it. It's not a lot. It's like cents. I will get paid like many cents for said commercial. But I was still excited because I was like, yay, us. And so I went on the story. I was like, oh my God, there's going to be a commercial. And then the day that the commercial was supposed to start run, they run on every episode is what I was told. So I went to go listen and I could not find this commercial on any of my episodes of my own show. And so I go to like tech support and basically find out that the commercial that you may have heard or not heard can only be heard by people in Denver, Colorado. Hi, Denver, Colorado! Or Colorado. No, maybe it was specifically Denver, Colorado. I remember that. Either way, all of Colorado. Hello, how are you? Nice to see you. So glad you could be here. Yay! So if you know anyone in Denver, tell them to listen to this show because it'll be good for the show. #Denver, #Colorado is what I've been doing like a crazy person. And so then, after finding out about the Denver thing, I went on to see, well, gosh, do I have Colorado listeners? And there are, and that was cool. But then I fell into that hole of like, oh my gosh, I haven't looked at this in a while, and there are listeners all across this great, wonderful nation of ours. I have flyover states, you guys. There's flyover states! Utah, Colorado, Kansas, Missouri. I don't know how to say that. I also am really bad at geography, and I don't really know, like, thank God when I hover over the state, it tells me what state it is. The whole West Coast. I mean, a shout out, we're going to do shout outs now. That's what that note was for, because we're going to shout out to all the places to listen to Thomas Anonymous. The number one in America being California. Yeah, bro. All my California Thomas Anonymous listeners are super cool. There's a lot of you. You rock. Second state. Gosh, I can't imagine why it's this state. Massachusetts. Second place. Most listeners in Massachusetts. Hey, you motherfuckers, your mother's a fucking horse sticker. Sorry, I just had to put some Boston lingo out there for the people. All of the East Coast, you guys, from Florida to Maine. We've got Thomas Anonymous listeners. The only state in there that doesn't... Oh, see, basically, all of the East Coast. And then inland, we got Ohio, Kentucky. Yeah, it goes a ways in, and then as we get into, like, you know, there's definitely a lot of states that do not listen. Texas, hey Texas, got more than I would think from Texas. And Arizona, I can't remember, I've been to Arizona, but I think I've just been to airports, and I drove through on a train once, so that was cool, well, twice. And yeah, there's a couple other states, but that's very cool. And then also, shout out to the world, because slowly but surely, we've had some, like, the, of course, USA, the greatest country in the world, is, I've got the most downloads in America, all right? But, runner-up, country number two that has the most downloads for Thomas Anonymous is Ireland. Yeah, Ireland. Pretty cool. Hi, Ireland. There's like a whole dozen of you guys. Very cool. Third place in the World Cup of Thomas Anonymous listeners is Canada. Hey, Canada. It's our neighbor. Hey, how are you? Another dozen of you guys. Hello. Fourth place. Yep, I'm going to keep going. Fourth place in the World Cup of Thomas Anonymous listeners is Australia. I can't do an Australian accent, but hello, Australia. There's like half a dozen of you guys. It gets lower and lower as we go down the list. But hey, I'm excited that we have listeners in Germany. Yeah, there's listeners, or at least a listener. we've got United Kingdom, Italy, Thailand. I don't know why they put Puerto Rico here in the other countries, because Puerto Rico is not a whatever. That's a whole nother episode, I feel like. And then other. What's other? Oh, they're just really small percentages. So there's a little bit in India. Like, there's at least one person in India, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Portugal, Sweden. That's a new one. South Africa, Finland, Fiji, and Mexico and Russia. There's one download in Mexico and one download in Russia. Thank you, guys. Thank you. That's super cool. So like I always say, you know, tell people about the show, because, you know, we got to take over the world, you guys. That being said, I'm really excited about my memoir. My memoir really being a book that you can get. And I sadly don't have any specific dates or information for you. So it's like, why are you mentioning it? Because it's happening. Because it's really happening. And yeah, it's in the process. And I write a lot, so it takes a while for people to go through my insanity. And then also had some important legal questions brought to my attention. So the process of the book is happening, and it's exciting, and I just wanted to share that with you. So I will keep you posted on that. All right, as we all know, the show must go on. Always and forever. Just ask the people fucking making a bunch of noise outside. Ha! Luckily, I have stock footage. Well, stock audio. So I originally had planned to air some more of my conversation with my true love and comedian Bobby Oliver later, like later this spring, when I wanted to like be lazy and not produce shows and just bank a bunch of stuff and then put up previously recorded shit. Well, guess what? It's springtime in December, because today we're gonna sit in on part 3 of me and Bobby Oliver. And then if there's time, I'm gonna answer those questions. And then if there's not, I'll do it another time. Aren't shows fun? All right, buckle up, because it's gonna be a truthful ride. Is that what I say? God, I forgot my own tag. Anyway, here we go.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, I'm an intersectional feminist. So, I'm not just like, oh, white women's party. You know, I'm trying to know all of this and honor all of this and give, you know, voice to marginalized people.
What is intersectional, what does that
okay, so
mean?
There is a term called white feminism, which no one actually identifies as, but it's a term that has been, I think, coined by feminists who, women of color, who have said, we notice that your feminism is very exclusive, and it tends to benefit and be about the causes of white women.
Got it.
And it tends not to take other aspects, other issues. So intersectional feminism means all these issues are coming together. So like, white women have a certain set of issues or whatever, but black women, other women of color, women with disabilities, but you know, queer women, all these, you know, have all of these other factors that they also, you know, women of color, I mean, women make like, you know, 70 cents on the dollar for men or whatever, but women of color make like even 30 cents less than that or something.
Right. And so nobody ever talks about that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's about not just being like, well, that's why I added the LGBT mic. That's why I asked Women of Color Anonymous to start a residency there, because I didn't want to just be a place that was providing space for women. I also wanted to have a safe space that was free of homophobia.
Yeah.
Which, as you know, misogyny runs rampant at open mics, and so does homophobia.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to have that, and I wanted to give a space for women of color to create, and I had been involved in shows with them, and I was fans of Women of Color Anonymous, and so we asked them, that's my pug, can you tell? Michael's. So, you know, we just wanted to open it up so it wasn't like when we started, for a year, we showed a free movie once a month on the big screen there.
Oh, yeah.
Movies that were written or directed by a woman. And like a few months in, I realized we're showing all white women movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So then, like, we added, like, Girls Trip. We added Hidden Which was Figures. Great. Yeah, we had the most people in attendance on Girls Trip.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you know what? I watched Girls Trip at home with Chris on a DVD. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it in our space on the big screen amongst women of color. And I had a completely different experience watching it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it became this real fun, like, interactive, you know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was a whole much better experience. But so it just means that my feminism is trans inclusive, mm-hmm. sex worker inclusive,
right.
Sex positive. Because there's a group of feminists that they don't call themselves this, but other people call them TERFs, which means trans exclusionary radical feminists.
Oh, shit.
They think that, they say that trans women are men, that they should not be allowed in women-only spaces. They even protested in the Pride in London or something. A bunch of rad femmes, radical feminists, but trans exclusionary. And they're also SWERFs. They tend to be the same group. Sex worker exclusionary radical feminists.
Right.
So, you know,
Jesus.
Sex worker is kind of, you know, a kind of thing with feminism that some think it's not feminist to support it and some think it's not feminist to not support it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I am inclusive of all that, and sex positive, which means that I still, you know, like sex. I mean, just that some feminists are more hardcore than others, and they believe that.
Right.
Some people even actually believe that all male to female relationships are imbalanced because of patriarchy, and so therefore non-consensual or whatever.
Right.
But But it just means that, like, I want to be sexual when I want to be sexual. I just don't want to be sexualized by,
yeah.
So feminism is, like, very deep and different layers. And, you know, I've never actually taken a class on any of this.
I love
unless
that.
Unless you count Twitter.
But I consider you, like, such a, like, a feminist expert. Like, someone I would go to if I needed any.
And I've had people call me out on stuff. Like, it took me a while. I mean, I got it years ago. But I'm embarrassed at how old I was when I finally got, when I understood white privilege.
Yeah.
You know, because I grew up really poor in a trailer park. And so we didn't have food, you know, so right. It was hard for me. But honestly, that joke I have about white privilege, I don't know if you know about me being high at a stop, a red light. I'm really high at a red light. And I'm like, oh, I look in the mirror and I'm like, high as fuck. And there are cop cars next to me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm too high. I'm too high. And I look at them and they look at me and they waved at me. That's it. They just waved at me. And I'm like, oh, this is white privilege.
Yeah.
And I realized, yeah, so I didn't have, you know, a lot of economic opportunities and whatnot. But I was never turned down from something specifically because of my race.
Right.
I was never not given a loan because of my race or never not allowed somewhere because of my race.
Yeah.
So that's white privilege. So I feel like I've been like schooled about right. all of this different. Oh, I've been called out about, I made a joke with the word ghetto in it. So I said, you know, I made a joke with the word ghetto in it that I'm from the ghetto. People don't believe I'm from the ghetto, but I stabbed my husband and I like him. Which is true. I have stabbed my husband.
Yeah.
And I do like him. And I always consider being from, that I was from the white ghetto, you know, and I never thought about how that sounded. But like there was a bullet hole in my bedroom my whole life from where one of my brothers shot at the other brother.
Yeah.
My mama shot my daddy in front of it. You know, shot at my daddy. The only difference is she missed. The only difference between shoot at and shoot is missed. So there's a lot of violence, a lot of poverty. When Chris delivered pizza in college, he said he would rather deliver to the projects than the trailer park because everyone in the trailer park was mean. And so I always felt like I grew up in the ghetto because I grew up in a really poor ass place where everybody, where all people cared about was their image and you can't disrespect me and if you disrespect me I'll beat your ass and you know all that stuff. But then I had a black friend write me. I think she's actually a black Latina, but she wrote me and said, you know, you shouldn't use that word, especially you, because people see you using it. She explained white feminism to me and this whole. So, because I had always thought when people said white feminists, that they were talking about feminists who were white, not people whose feminism
not a
was
certain,
too,
yeah.
Yeah, too uppity and exclusionary.
Well, what is it about the word ghetto, like white, what is it, what was it?
Well, just that, I mean, just maybe that it's because just, I'm white.
And that you don't really understand the
kind
true
of judgy,
ghetto.
Yeah, or I'm being like, I'm, you know, I'm street or what. I mean, just that it's not a, you know, it's not a word to be made fun of or glamorized or appropriated.
Okay,
you know,
right.
Because even though I feel like it was a get, wasn't truly. But then, you know, not only did she write me, but several people wrote me and said, if I'm not Jewish, I've never lived in a ghetto. So there's a whole array of feelings.
Wow.
And then another, a black friend of mine who now writes for The Daily Show said that she was called out about saying ghetto in a joke.
Wow. Well, it's interesting. I like to hear why. Like, I hadn't even heard that. So
yeah,
that's, like,
yeah.
Interesting.
But I don't feel like people are getting more sensitive. I know that you and Michelle have talked about that. I don't think people are getting more sensitive or more easily offended. I think more people are seated at the table than ever were before. And people who never had a voice before now have a voice.
With, like...
Yeah, just... and they're like, who are you? You know, like BoJack, the guy who does BoJack. I've never seen it before.
Horseman
yeah.
or whatever.
But
yeah.
He was being interviewed on NPR, and he said he wrote a joke about, you know, he's Alaska, people in Alaska, about Inuits on their show, and it was like something like inbred blubber fuckers or some kind of something weird like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that some Inuit chick wrote him and was like, that's the only time my people will be mentioned on TV at all this year. You know? And it's to be...
Right.
You know, the inbred blubberfucker. Like,
God.
Really? Did you... You know? And he said he thought about that. And he said that, you know, usually people are like, well, you just gotta be... And he was like, no, that's true.
Yeah.
It's not like they have this representation out there that you get to hear a good thing about Inuits and you get to hear a stupid joke about, you know... So he said that there's things that Joe, and I feel this way about jokes I've written before, that like when Stephen Hawking died, in honor of Stephen Hawking passing away, I told my Stephen Hawking joke at the open mic that night. And in the middle of it, I was like, wow, this is ableist as fuck. I would never tell this joke now, you know? Yeah. I would never tell this joke now.
Yeah.
Because even though, by the way, a lot of disabled activists that I follow on Twitter have the same feeling as me in the joke where I hate those movies where we're all supposed to be so inspired by the handicapped person because they do this like ridiculously inspirational thing. And disabled activists have said, we're not your porn. We're not your fucking feel-good porn, your inspiration porn. We're trying to live our life. Not, you know, we don't have to be somebody's fucking inspiration. You know, so...
Wow.
That, my joke was that they make me feel bad about myself.
Right.
And I just want to see a handicapped person just, like, fuck it. And give it up, you know? But, yeah, I mean, would I say that on stage now? No. Should I have said it in this microphone just now? Probably no.
No, but I know what you mean. Yeah, things... just evolve, and then you realize you just don't do it anymore. I love what you said about more people at the table, because that, like, kind of puts a new perspective on it
for me. And I think what all these, like, comics who are like, there's two PC, you know, these big, mostly straight white dude famous comics are like, it's two PC, people are too offended over everything, we can't say anything anymore. And it's like, they want you to believe that the calls for change, the calls to not do bully comedy are coming from outside forces trying to force themselves on comedy and make but it's not. The calls for change are coming from inside the house.
Right.
More people are doing comedy than have ever been able to do comedy before. You used to have to be in a pretty privileged situation to be able to do comedy.
Yeah.
You know, now with technology and, you know, the proliferation of mics and, you know, and social media, you can open mics. I mean, you can do comedy, you know, and you can have a voice. And so
They're
like, we're tired of hearing all the same hack jokes about, you know, like someone was going to do a joke the other day about Asian men having a small dick. And I was like, don't do that. And they were like, why? And I was like, haven't Asian men had it bad enough?
Give them a break.
You know,
yeah.
Why are we always got to be, and besides this, it's hack.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I know. And yeah, it's almost like, why don't fight for hack shit.
Yeah, are you dying on the hack hill? Yeah. Right?
That's what you're standing up for?
Right. Right. You're just mad you can't say faggot on stage anymore. Just be honest.
Yeah, you know?
But see, I'm excited about that. And I'm of the age that I should be grumpy about it. You know, I've been doing comedy 30 years. I just turned 50. I'm at the age where I should be like, comedy used to be like this or this. But yeah. I'm excited that now you have to be clever to write jokes that don't go after underdogs.
Yeah, you have to go around it and some people still will, but not make that not make the victim the joke.
Yeah, that's the thing. What is the point of you having a microphone if you're just going to blame victims?
Yeah.
You know? Like at our regular mic, I say no jokes about beating up or raping women. But I don't have to say no rape jokes at the women's mic. I've never said it at the women's mic. Because the kind of rape jokes women tell are completely different. Because are rape culture jokes.
Right.
They are jokes where the victim is not the punchline.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it's like, yeah, that's, you're dying on the rape hill.
I know.
You know? But yeah, I think more people are doing comedy, and so you have more queer voices, you have more people of color, you have people with disabilities, although from what I see from the activism online, they prefer to be called disabled than people with disabilities, but, what you know, I'll say whatever anybody wants to say.
Yeah.
You know, so now more of those people are doing comedy, and it's like they, you know, now they're in the room.
Right.
You know, they're in the room. So.
That's true. That's so true. God, I never thought about it like that.
You used to be like, hey, we can make fun of the Chinese because they're not here, right?
Right, because it's all white guys here, you know? But now there are actually Chinese and disabled people.
Yeah. And it's like, and that's why I like to tell jokes that let people know I've been raped, because I want people know they know a rape victim. Yeah. And I want comics to know they're telling jokes to rape victims.
Yeah.
You know, one in four women have been raped. among female comics, my feeling is that it's higher.
Probably.
Because comedy attracts damaged people.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to tell your rape joke, you should know you're telling it to rape victims. Although some people don't care. You know, I have in the past talked about having been raped on Twitter and talked about rape jokes. And people would send me a response to me talking about being raped. Send me rape jokes in response.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, male comics. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Say, aren't you proud? And when people talk about being, you know, oh, they're triggered. It must be nice to have lived a life where you don't have a trauma
yeah.
that you could, you know.
Nothing triggers you.
Yeah, that nothing may, you know. Because here's the thing. The trigger warnings have always been around. How many times have you watched the news and they said this next segment coming up could be, you know,
yeah.
has sensitive material. If you don't want to watch it, change the channel. Or if you have children in the room. Like, they warn you all the time about shit.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it could fuck some people up.
And if you've ever been triggered, what it means, here's the thing. When men have PTSD and it's about stuff like going to war, they don't make fun of that, although some people do.
But that's respectful.
But that's, it's respectful. Yeah. You can't have fireworks around vets because they'll get triggered. That makes it, but you can't tell rape jokes to rape victims because they're pansies who can't take it.
Come on, get over it, all right?
You know? It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's horrible.
But I think there's enough room for all of that. I think there's enough room for all the asshole comics who want to do asshole material and make fun of people.
Yeah.
And just pick on people who society already picks on. The lowest hanging fruit. And there's going to be people who go see them.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be people who like that or into that.
There's always going to be.
But there's also people Kari Kononobu and Aparna Nancharla and Debbie Kamal Bell and, you know, just all these people that just don't do material about, just don't do mean spirited. Like Chris Rock says, you should only pick on people who have it coming.
Yes, I agree.
You know, homeless people don't have it coming. The system that put them there has it coming.
Why have homeless people been such a bit for people to do? Is it just a, like, I don't know. I remember, like, 8 years ago, people weren't talking about, like, homeless people.
I think a lot of people who do comedy now are privileged fucks. It used to be only the weirdos did comedy.
Yeah.
Only the people who didn't fit in and were more the observers.
Yeah.
Now every fucking homecoming queen and Instagram model
Got
and
it.
Captain of the football team and fucking yeah. good-looking asshole, rich asshole, doing comedy now. And they tend to be doing some of the meaner stuff.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That is what
it's like,
it
this is.
Is
our thing.
Yeah.
You good-looking people can go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Get the fuck out of here.
It's supposed to be for the observers, not for the participators.
Oh, that's
in
what
life.
I have. Yeah. I you just, like light bulb moment me, because I haven't been able to put my finger on it. Like, what is it about? Because, like, I love comedy, obviously, and I've been trying to figure out the past few years, what is it about this that I hate? Because going to mics and you know, because that's all it is just a slew of I guess really privileged people.
Yeah, there's these guys that come to the mic who are great, just both really sweet guys. And one of them just grew up rich as fuck and tells all these jokes about being rich. It's like,
oh my God,
it's so like, hard to like you.
Yeah, you, I mean,
you know, it's like, oh poor you. What are we making fun of again?
Right.
You know? Then the other one goes up, and he's so good looking.
Mm.
He's so good, and he's funny, and it kind of makes me mad. Mm-hmm. I just want to be like, take your good looking ass out of here,
and your money.
Go fucking act. Yeah, you too. Go fucking take your looks and money. And do something other than comedy.
And Venmo a donation on the way out.
Right. But they're both just so likable, it's hard. But, yeah, it's like, you know, comics used to be the funny-looking people and the...
The freaks.
Yeah, the freaks. The people who were awkward and, you know, just sat and wrote instead of playing ball.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe, like, what is toxic masculinity and how would you describe it to someone who was like, what is that?
Okay, so I heard your discussion with Michelle, and I do think that boys are born with a certain, like, level of energy and testosterone where they want to smash stuff and run around
sure.
and that kind of thing. Yeah, that you know, there's a reason why all the murderers are men. All the school shooters are men.
Totally.
You know, and when I say all, and you can think of that one chick, that mm-hmm. proves me right, because you can think of the one chick. That's the reason. But
the one.
Right.
The one out
the
of
one.
Millions.
You can think of the one. But to me, toxic masculinity is how we treat our boys, how we treat them when they're growing up. Like, You can't cry. You can't have feelings. Buck up, man up. You're a pussy. And it's not just the parents. I think it's mostly peers. Yeah. Like, why do you talk like that? Why do you sound like that?
Yeah.
And like, why are you blinking your eyes all the time? True. Why are you, you know, whatever. It's like we're taught how to act by our peers. And we are taught, boys are taught, don't cry, don't act like a girl, don't like dolls, don't do that. And if you you have to do this, you have to like this, you have to play with this kind of toy, and you have to dress like this, and you have to go. And if you're anything other than that, you're a fag or a queer, you get picked on, you get called, you know, every name in the book. And so because we don't let boys feel feelings.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when a guy gets broken up with, oh my God, he just loses his goddamn mind. Like, he has to go shoot somebody or shoot himself or make his big, it's like the biggest drama. That it could be like a relationship that was like 6 months long. It's like when a guy gets sick and the world has to stop.
Oh God, yeah, we are babies.
They're in bed and the whole, but like a woman gets broken up with, this is just one of the 80 things she's had to deal with this month. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's had, you know, when you express your feelings all the time, even if it gets on men's nerves or whatever, and then someone breaks up with you, you don't have to go shoot someone because you know how to express your feelings.
Right.
You don't have this thing bent up. Like, you were, like, doing it to yourself, you said, even, like, internalized misogyny.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the gay toxic thing. That was really, you know, I was kind of familiar with that. But that whole, we're continuing to do it to each other.
Oh, yeah.
You're not tough and don't feel this and you shouldn't be feminine. Don't cry. You're a pussy. Like, all the terms are like, you're a bit, little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You're a pussy. You're a vag. You're, you know. It's like, damn.
I know. Yeah, and within the gay community, like, they are all anti-fem and, you know, mask for mask, and you can go on Grindr, and it's all like, you know, it's very, it's just all that grossness that we bring into our adulthood that most people aren't even aware of. Like,
it's like, yeah, fem shaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have been told before that I acted too masculine or sounded too masculine or.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but not to like the extent that you were talking about. We don't let boys. I'll come closer.
Come back.
We don't let boys feel the full range of emotions that we let girls feel, but we also don't let girls feel things like sexual desire, you know.
Yeah
But I think toxic masculinity is that we are putting boys in a box and keeping them in that box from the time they look up from their crib and they see blue walls and a baseball bat on the you know.
I had, I don't know what they're called. It's almost like if you had wallpaper, but only like...
Yeah, the border.
The border of the top of the room. And it was like airplanes and like trains or something like that.
Yeah, and it's like Michelle was saying, there's a blue aisle and there's a pink aisle.
Yeah.
And there's actually a group of feminists who are trying to get toy companies to stop making the toys so...
Oh, like gender assigned or whatever.
Yeah, and like... Yeah, stop making the doll strollers pink, or stop making the girls from our whole life, they stick a baby in our hands from the minute we're born and give us a fucking oven.
Yeah.
And they're like, get to work.
Yeah.
And boys, they're like, here, you play this ball and grunt and drink a beer and spit and chase pussy and, you know. And it's just like, whoa, I was, you know. Nobody ever asked. Your mom never said to you, what do you want to be a mermaid?
Right.
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Sure, let's be a mermaid. You
yeah.
know? But if you wanted to be a trucker, like you said, a low-income worker, that's fine. But a fabulous mermaid, no.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to know your place. I told Chris about how I loved how you were telling stories your whole life, like with the car, the Hot Wheels.
Oh, yeah.
That you were like, and I was like, he's got to go to his shift. And he goes in at 2 and doesn't get off until midnight. And Chris is like, oh, my God, that's so weird that a kid even knows that. And I was like, it's because you grew up rich. Believe me, poor kids know all about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we know about
the
shifts.
The double shift.
Yeah,
Time
clocks.
Oh, my God.
I knew all about that stuff. You knew all about that stuff before you even have a job and work. Like, you already know about, like, just, you know, overtime, taxes.
And Leah playing house. I love that you, like, pretended like you're 40.
I hated that. Guys, we're kids. We could imagine, like, we could do anything with our imaginations right now.
And we want to pay fake bills.
Even today, like, I hate when I see, like, a little girl like all like just all about like being a mommy with her baby, and I'm like, you could be doing so many fun things right now. Like,
you're too young to be a mommy.
Please, like, save this for when you, you know, it's a job. You're doing a job right now.
Yeah, we even buy little girls little toy vacuum cleaners. And shit.
That don't even work. So it's like, yeah, so useless. Home. I mean, like, if you're going to give the kid a vacuum, have it work so it fucking vacuums.
Yeah, God, I wish I ever had a kid that was into vacuuming. I just remember, like, my brothers, all four of my siblings would play, like, Monopoly or play some kind of game, and I was never allowed to play.
Oh, because you were a girl?
Or... No, my sister, they let my sister play.
Oh.
I was the only one that was my daddy's, and I think they resented that.
Oh, interesting.
In fact, I know they resented it because they pretty much saw me every day. Oh. They would all play Monopoly, and they would have a game set up for like 3 days, you know?
Oh, my God.
And I was never allowed to play. So I was taught, I'm eating an almond joy.
Which are the best, and I already had one. Secretly stuffed it in my face. So good.
When I remember the two lessons I learned when I was growing up was, your body is not your own.
Hmm.
And you're annoying and nobody wants you around. You know? My mama acted annoyed that she had me.
Oh, yeah.
My brothers acted annoyed, you know, that I existed, you know?
I remember when I asked my mom what an abortion was. She was doing laundry, we were in the basement, and I'd heard it somewhere, I don't know, remember where, but I said, what's an abortion? And she said, it's when a pregnant lady gets her baby killed. Or, like it's when she doesn't have her baby and they kill it. And I said, how do they do it? And she said, it's like they have a little vacuum cleaner. They just jam it up inside her and they suck it out.
Wow.
And then she told me how she almost had one with me.
It wouldn't be a Christine story without that little.
But then it turned into, like, her not doing it and how, you know, how much she loved me. Like, she just made it into this, like, hero story. How, like, she didn't have an abortion.
Right. Because I wanted a boy.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Oh my gosh. I remember one time my parents having the talk with my sister that she was too old to climb trees.
What?
What the fuck? And she was climbing trees with some boys on vacation in Jekyll Island. They were like, "You're too old." I was like, "Was her pant?" Later, as an adult, I was trying to figure it out. I was like, "Was she in a dress? Were her panties showing?" Like,
yeah.
Why was there this serious?
No tree climbing.
Yeah. We never had the talk. We never had the sex talk, but we had the tree talk.
Oh, so there was no sex talk at all? Like,
oh, fuck no.
From mom or dad?
No. Or my school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We didn't learn about evolution.
Oh, my God.
We certainly didn't learn about sex. Wow. We learned about periods, I think.
They showed us, like, a film strip. It was like a...
Was it people having sex?
No, it was just like a biological chart of a penis. But it was like the internal... So you couldn't even tell. Oh, yeah. Like, it took me 10 minutes of looking at the... I was like, oh... It's a penis.
Yeah.
And same with the vagina. But it was like one day, you know, just like the real basics of like, this is this, that's that.
It's always that drawing with like the fallopian.
Oh, that really, I didn't know what fucking, that was. It's like there's a flower. It looked pretty.
Fucking Georgia O'Keeffe. Painting. Yeah, didn't learn about evolution. Of course, remember, I don't remember most of my childhood.
Yeah.
From the time I was like 5 to 12. I don't remember.
It's a long blackout.
I was 12 years old. I was in 7th grade. And I woke up. I was laying down on my desk and I woke up. And I sat up and looked around. I was like, oh shit, I'm in the wrong class. I'm sitting in the wrong class. And class was going on or whatever. And I looked down at my stuff and I had a whole notebook full of notes from that class in my handwriting. Like I'd been in that class all year.
Oh, my God.
And so I, like, woke up in that moment. I woke up from wherever I had been
right.
when I went away. And I'm in the middle. Of course, nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I woke, and I never told anybody.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, until I got much older. You know, I never told a shrink that either. I never told a shrink that.
I wouldn't either. I'd be way too fucking terrified to tell anybody, like, professional that. Because, like, wow. Because you were there, but you weren't there.
Yeah, I was not. And so there's so many things that's just common knowledge that people learn between the ages of 5 and 12 that I know nothing about.
Right.
I'm completely clueless. Like, constellations. And all I know, I'm always like, what are you talking about? But yeah, I had gone into a dissociative state,
yeah,
and then came out when it felt safe.
Wow,
I guess, yeah. So, I can't remember. I try so hard to remember stuff I can't remember.
I'm sure.
I've done, like you said, you were like, you said you were a gay detective or whatever. Private gay detective.
Yeah.
Like, I've tried to go back on my life and things that I remember as if it weren't me and I was a detective and I was just looking at the facts.
Uh-huh.
And it, all the time that I do that, the facts add up to really scary shit.
Mm-hmm.
But my brain is like, no, I don't remember that. So that's not have happened. Yeah.
it's almost it's like better, like, do you really wanna see what's going on in that dark room?
Yeah. I kinda feel like when my daddy dies that I might
some might unlock stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably will happen.
We grew up in this trailer or whatever. And then after, you know, when I was an adult, somebody bought the trailer park next to us,
mm-hmm.
and wanted to put up a mall, but they couldn't because my parents owned that land.
Oh.
And so they kept making my parents offers and they kept refusing because my mom didn't want to move out of that trailer. So then the city threatened them with eminent domain and made them sell. So they gave my parents like $100,000 for this trailer.
Mm.
And they went down the street and bought a 4-bedroom house with it.
Oh,
2-story
wow.
house with like multiple bathrooms. So I have on a trip gone home and gone to where the trailer park was, to where we used to live. And as I'm driving, it's still a dirt road, of course.
Of course.
Of course. but as I'm driving up the dirt road, I start getting this feeling of fear and panic in the pit of my stomach. Like, and as I get closer to where the trailer was, and now it's not there, it's all grown over. But I felt like I was having a panic attack while I was there. So the body knows.
It does. I recently, going back to the trip in June, when I went to the rest stops and stuff, I realized I can't, like, going home to the East Coast, Boston, that whole region just puts me in anxiety, panic mode, and it physicalizes in my body, like, I have horrible pains inside, and, like, I can't digest food, or I don't have an appetite, and it's just,
and I feel like the kid I was when I, you know, I'm back at that age. I have that same relationship with my parents. My daddy, I'm 50 years old. I'm still not allowed to drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not, like, I get treated like a child. I have to say yes, sir,
yeah.
and all this stuff. So I'm treated like a child while I'm there. I feel like a child while I'm there. Like, I revert back to those roles.
Oh, sure.
And
I
you're
bet.
Back in that, like, fucking dynamic with those people.
That's what's interesting to me. It's like, because I don't, for me, that whole cast of people that I painted, gone. Like, when I go back, I don't see any of them. Like, so that's what would be interesting to me is, like, how that would still, like, years later, at 50 years old, to still have to go home to that, like,
yeah, when
father.
My daddy dies,
yeah.
When my daddy dies, it's going to be the last time I ever go back there. But I'm the executor of his will, and I used to be a co-executor with my oldest brother, the one who is the meanest to me, the one who's the evangelical Christian minister.
Oh,
fundamentalist minister. He was also a military police.
Ugh.
So he's every kind of asshole.
Oh, God.
And Trump supporter. Every kind of asshole.
Jeez.
You
Jeez.
So, evangelical minister, military police. He was the co-executor because he's the one that lived in Mississippi. He lives in Mississippi, but it's closer than California. So, and he's the only one that's not a drunk or something besides me. But then we got in a fight on Facebook about Muslims, and he said to me, you and I need never talk again until your daddy's funeral.
Oh.
You know, and so I wrote my daddy, and I was like, can you take me off as the executor of the will? And he's like, why? And I said, because Eddie is a bully. He has always been a bully. He has bullied me my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
He's mean. I'm terrified of him. When you die, it's going to be the worst day of my life. Chris may or may not be able to be there with me. I don't need to be going through all of this paperwork and shit with my bully there.
Right.
So I said, it's me or him. So my daddy took him off. Because, I mean, we know what's up. Right?
Yeah.
And my daddy's kid.
Aww.
So he took, but here's the thing. My daddy never told him that he's not still co-executor of the
shit.
Will. So my first duty when my daddy dies is to tell my brother he's not the co-executor anymore. And as you know, everybody in my family is a Trump supporter but me and my crazy-ass sister, who you would not want on your team. but so my daddy has all of the Civil War stuff, all of this fucking flags and all of this
Confederate
like, antique Civil War.
Yeah.
My job as the liberal executor of the will is to distribute all of the Civil War memorabilia to the other racist Trump supporters in my family. I have to be like, here, my daddy wanted you to have this piece of racist memorabilia. I'm sure this Aunt Jemima would look lovely in your home. So,
oh my God, you can't just sell it on eBay.
No, my job is to it's a lot of Confederate flags to divvy up. My daddy's got those pearl-handled knives with the little generals' heads on them.
Oh my God.
Remember?
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I love my sister, but she's crazy as fuck. And honest to God, I'm never going back there. When my daddy dies, I never. So I felt obligated. I was like, I could probably come see you for like 4 days in December. Because, you know, he's sick. He's dying. And I was like, if you could send me a plane ticket. Because I'm broke as fuck.
Yeah.
That is, everyone knows that.
That's yeah, we're all.
And I was like, so if you want to see me, I could come like 4 days in December. And he's like, I'm like, all right. Well, I'm off the hook. I offered. You know? I didn't actually want to go. But vapes have changed my ability to go to my family's
house. Vapes have changed. Yes. It's great. I have no problem going anywhere now, like, cause I know I can be high.
All old people have spray in the bathroom. All old people have that air freshener in the bathroom. So even though vapes kind of have a smell,
they do sometimes.
You just spray that shit. And see, I always am like, oh, I don't feel good. I always tell my daddy I'm sick when I'm home. It's a lot of times I am because the food's totally different, the travel and everything. Mm-hmm. So you get there, they give you a big cup of grease when you get off the plane to drink in the car. So I just have to go to the bathroom a lot. I just my stomach's upset and I go high in the bathroom.
Nice. That's your go-to.
Spray the...
Yeah, it's been a game changer. And just flying in general is better with vapes. I mean, you've always been able to do your special...
cooch weed. That's not easy.
No, it's never seemed easy. I guess I could like ask weed and pat down if I really wanted to, but
I opt for the pat down. Nobody's gonna stick their fingers in my cooch.
I'm always afraid. Like, do they like when you ask for the pat down? Are they like, all right, we got a pat down, but like keep an eye on her? Like,
yeah, but what are they gonna do? They can't see my cooch. I mean,
yeah.
So what you do is, all right. So I had the hardest time. I thought, I can do this. First time I ever flew with wheat pot, I was like, I can do this. You know, you break it up really fine. You know, no stems, obviously. You put it in the baggie or whatever. But then what I discovered is, I was like, okay, if I can take a dick or a dildo, I can take a baggie of wheat, you know. So the thing is, you can't get it. It won't go in there because it's not hard.
Oh, so.
It's a flimsy. I was doing a bit about it one time, but I tried everything. I stroked it. I licked the end of it. Just never got hard.
Nothing.
So Sally told me, of course, Sally to the rescue.
She would know.
Weed. Of course, she had an answer at the ready. She said, put it in a condom and then pack it as tight and tie the condom off so that it's like packed.
Nice.
So I had to go to the store and buy it was the whole terrifying. I was like, I don't know what to get. I don't know. You know, so I'm like, does she know I'm just using it for weed? So she was like, how big do you want it? I was like, about an ounce. I don't know. So yeah, and then you have to, you know, you use lube or whatever, put it up there. But here's the thing, okay? Mm. Your body is trying to reject it the whole time.
Right.
The whole time. Because, yeah, you could take a dildo. You don't walk around with a dildo in you. It's a good thing I have the fucking Kegels of a goddess.
Oh, my God.
Because you're the whole time. Because you got to drive there. You can't insert it in the bathroom. You got to do that shit in the privacy of your own home. Right. So you got to drive an hour to the airport, get the car, get the thing, check in, and go. As soon as you go through security, you can immediately go to the bathroom and take it out of your cooch and put it in a bag.
Nice. Yeah.
But,
oh my God.
And you have to predict how much you're going to bring because you don't want to risk it twice. You don't want to come back with it. You don't want to risk going to jail when you have pot at your house.
Right. Smoke it all when you're there.
Right. So I would either give it away or just like the last day, just smoke it the hell, you know.
I've had a lot of those days where like I have a flight and I brought this weed and because I would just usually ship it, mail it to wherever I'm going.
Yeah, I mailed my sister a bunch of vapes.
Oh, nice.
And she brought them to me to the airport. That's before I knew, like, I brought one with me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In case, you know, because I figured it'd be easier to have one. And then I mailed myself a bunch to her. And then when I left her one. It's like, until this battery runs out.
Oh, nice.
Because I didn't have a charger to leave her.
Right. Isn't it crazy how you can take those on a plane?
Now, LAX actually came out with a thing. They posted, you can bring a certain amount of pot with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't, people were saying it, and I was like, no. I don't believe that
Brandon
shit.
This was before they passed whatever. He just told me, yeah, dude, I took an 8. Like, I just hid it in my suitcase. It was my carry-on, and I, like, took it with me. And I was just like, wow, you are fucking brave, because I... There's no way in fucking hell I would ever try that.
No, not as long as I have a cooch. I am never. And by the way, when you take the cooch weed out after having kegled it for 2 hours, it's a fucking brick. It's like, let's chisel some of this pussy weed. It's a brick. Oh my God. I'm like, that's right. We were in Hawaii. Everybody kept saying, you could just get pot in Hawaii. No. There was no, everyone kept asking us. They'd be like, you know where we can get some pot? I'm like, yeah, my cooch. Got some right here.
Oh my God. Hold on. Let me chisel some off. Right. That's fantastic.
But yeah, and I always just... But and the thing, when you come back, you can just say, give me the scanner, and you don't have to get a pat down.
Mm.
But then I wonder, do they ever mark that they always... I know. That I always but ask then, for the pat down.
Well, what are they going to do?
Like, TSA, they're so fucking stupid.
I'm worried about the rate... Like, when I'm standing there, and it's going... Woof, woof.
Yeah.
What kind of radiation
and
is happening?
That they make fun of people. Have you heard that?
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, they make fun of people. I don't want to be up in that thing and then people making fun of me.
Because they can see your whole body, right?
Yeah, and then, yeah, I don't need that.
Fucking motherfuckers.
I'm already imagining people doing that. I don't need to make it easier for people to do that. I already just assume people are making fun of me.
Yay! We did it! A show is done! Thank you all for listening. Thank you all over the country for listening. And all over the world! World! I like a fax, okay? I will be back next week with a very special guest who I love. And the week after that will be the Thomas Anonymous Holiday Special. So we are all busy together. So, as always, if you want to keep up with me and my life, follow me on Instagram at TheThomasAnonymous. I know, anonymous is hard to spell. Look it up. Your phone will know. It took me 6 months to learn, okay? I want to thank Bobby Oliver for part 3, Triple Threat. Thank you so much. You can follow Bobby on Twitter at TheBobbyOliver. That's B-O-B-B-I-E. A big thank you to bensound.com for my music, and I want to thank me for showing up and still doing a show. I love that that's still in my notes. Yay me, and thank you for listening to the show and allowing me to enjoy myself in my really clean apartment with beautiful smells and wonderful banana bread and this bowl that I'm going to smoke. Okay, bye! God, I want more bread.